Did we catch what he said? Grieving the Spirit of God, I'm doing things that I should not be doing. Comes from Ephesians, we know. I'm doing things, will this give you that reference, turn to it. Ephesians 4. And we heard of all kinds of things in verse 26. Be you not angry, sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Let him labor, working with his hands, no corrupt communication. And when those things are present in your life and mine, I don't grieve him away. But he occupies me with my failure. Instead of the place of blessing he has brought me into, he says, Chuck, you know you shouldn't have done that. You know you dishonored me in allowing that to come into your life. That's the thought behind grieving. I want to tell you again, it does not say grieve away. It is to make the Spirit of God unhappy, and he has to occupy me with my failure. But the other one that we had, the quench not, somebody will give us a reference, is when the Lord has laid something before me that he wants me to do. And he's asked me, and he's asked me, and he's asked me, and I don't do it. Do you know there comes a time when he will ask someone else? He says, I'll use someone else. You weren't available to be the vessel that I could use. And so we then quench. He no longer speaks to us about that. And
his activity
is stopped with us. But it doesn't say that he is quenched away.
Yeah. And I think it's a very important question that was asked. Now, we heard the difference between grieving and quenching. But the whole idea that the Spirit of God doesn't leave you, I just want, again, to underline what Marcel was asking, because that gives me the matter of eternal security. When I am saved for eternity. I want you to understand that. You don't lose your salvation. You do not lose the Spirit of God. You could grieve it. You could quench it. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1.
Let me just give the reference for quenching, and then it is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. Go ahead, Emil.
Did you write that down? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. Okay. I know sometimes we kind of, so some of us are slow writers. But I just, while you're still having your pen and paper, I want to refer back again. The whole idea that the Spirit of God is in you and doesn't leave you. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and read verse somebody. Somebody got to read it, otherwise I'll pick a person. And read to me verse 13 and 14.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed by the Holy Spirit with promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory.
So that Spirit is a seal, and it is in you. It's a brand. It's a stamp that is on you, engraved in you, and it's never ever leave you. And that's what tells me that I am secure. I am secure because I belong to the Master who have put a down payment. That is really the earnest. Clear so far? Very good question. So Brother Chuck, go ahead, Tony.
I want to go back to the verse about grieving the Holy Spirit, because the latter part of that verse is connected with chapter 1 and the verses we've read. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, by whom ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So though our walk may grieve the Spirit of God, it has nothing to do with our eternal security, because that seal that we've just read in chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, is underlined here again, that our walk, though it may grieve the Spirit of God, has nothing to do with whether we are saved for eternally. But we want our walk, as we have here in the book of Galatians, to be in line with the dignity of who we are as sons. Right? We've often used the example of, you know, those who are royals in England. What a report, what a shame it was some years ago to just have pictures of them intoxicated in the street. There was a picture of one of them wearing a uniform that was associated with Hitler. What shame. But it didn't change the position that they had as sons to the throne and heirs to the throne of England. And so that's what's important for us. I want to also emphasize this about the Holy Spirit. And I know it's a common error, but the Holy Spirit is not an it. He is a divine person of the Godhead. And so that is, and how do we know? Well, we've just read, he can be grieved. He can be quenched. I think it's in the book of Timothy that says he speaks expressly. So he is a divine person who has taken up place with us. And the wonderful thing that he does is he gives us a language, he gives us a response as sons to the Father, right? This is my Father. That's why we cry, Abba Father. We are sons to him. We have received the adoption of sonship. Who is my Father? The Spirit of God, he tells me, and he gives me the utterances to cry to my Father. I encourage the young men, even in our expressions in prayer and thanksgiving, it is true that he is our heavenly Father. But when we speak of him as our Father, we speak of him in relationship, the intimacy, the closeness that we have. Heavenly Father has in view this distance from us. But where we speak of him as our Father in relation to us as sons, we speak of the intimacy and the closeness that we've been brought into by faith in the Lord Jesus. A completely different relationship than whatever was known by anyone else. But we have such a close relationship with him.
I think before we leave that subject, it will always help us to see the Holy Spirit seals his own. He does not seal a false profession. And I'm only going to give you the reference to look at it sometime when Philip was in Acts chapter 8 and Simon Magus was there. There were a lot of people that saw what was going on, what was being done. They believed the word that was spoken and the Spirit came down upon them and sealed them. God seals what belongs to him. But then it tells, and I'll read the verse for you. Simon saw in Acts 8:18 that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given. And he offered them money. He offered them money. He said, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit. He was not a saved man. And God did not seal him. And God, through the Spirit of God, gave Peter the perception to see. This man was not one of his own. And so Peter says to him, listen, your money perish with you. Your money perish with you. He did not belong to the Lord. He thought it could be bought. He wanted power. He was not the Lord. So we'll leave this if we could and move on into the next chapter. Is there a question?
Yes.